Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit. Transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
First reading is from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with the new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. "How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with the swarms, living things, both great and grave. There go the ships to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. All of them look to you, and give them for food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You send forth your Spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works. You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise you. These words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, hear my soul. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
A reading from Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly while we wait for adoption and redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Last week at Synod Assembly, I attended a workshop on preaching, and the title was Preach Like Your Hair's on Fire. Well, that is exactly what Peter and the disciples were doing on that Pentecost Sunday that we heard about from St. Luke's writing in the Acts of the Apostles. On fire with the Holy Spirit, the disciples of Jesus turned the world upside down. On fire with the Spirit, we are called to continue that work of the church. But let's just take a breath. You know, the word for spirit is breath. The same word, spirit, breath. Inhale, be inspired. A few Sundays ago, I watched some very good parenting in action here. The family will remain anonymous. The mother was dealing with her young child, and I think his hair was on fire. He wanted to be in church, and he didn't want to be in church. He was in tears as they made their second trip out to the parking lot. And this was before the service started. She got down and looked him eye to eye and said, "Just take a breath. Slow down. Just breathe." Have you ever needed to be reminded to breathe? When we're under stress, we breathe more shallowly than we really should. Health experts tell us that the shallow breathing actually causes more stress. The shallow breaths cause a lack of oxygen in our bodies. You know how people sigh when they're sad or depressed or even bored? Those are simply signs that our body is trying to compensate for that lack of oxygen that has been caused by our shallow breathing. We sigh and take that deeper breath. Your body forces you to take a breath. Maybe there's been some sighing in your life of late. There are times when we need someone to look us in the eye and just remind us to take a breath. We get way too stressed, running from activity to activity, holding the cares and the concerns of work and family and finances and fun, of so many things. We're under some stress. The apostles needed to be reminded to breathe too. Think of all that has happened to them, if we're taking a look at that story, from the 50 days to today, 50 days prior. We had that wonderful but very sad Last Supper when Jesus said goodbye. Then his arrest and crucifixion. There was a lot of sighing going on then. And then those sighs turned to gasps of wonder at the resurrection and at Jesus' appearances as he continued to teach them about forgiveness and grace and peace and that coming promised Holy Spirit. And just as the disciples caught their breath, Jesus told them that he would leave them again. That's what we heard in today's gospel. And he was taken away from them and returned to his Creator God. And at that time, they probably felt like the wind had been knocked out of them. Those sighs of stress and confusion must have been audible that day when Jesus told them, "Go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit." They did go back, and they waited, and they wondered, "How long do we wait? And what are we waiting for?" But before they knew what was happening, they heard a wind. Not a gentle blowing, not a calm breeze that rustles the leaves of the palm tree, but a gale force that shook the whole house. If you've ever been in a tornado or heard someone tell the story about being in a tornado, they always use this phrase. It sounded like a train, this noise, this great noise, and this movement that comes with the noise. That's the kind of noise that the apostles heard. The Spirit came and shook the whole house, and everyone was filled with the holy breath of God. They were inspired. They were filled with the breath of God. They were on fire, filled with the power of God. They couldn't not speak. They had to tell about it. These fear-filled, closed-mouthed, stressed-out disciples found themselves preaching about who God was and what God had done in their lives. The Holy Spirit had set their hair on fire, and they could do nothing else but tell of the mysteries of God. And the people listened. Some of them thought that these God-proclaiming disciples were drunk. They couldn't explain it any other way. They had seen these guys, quiet, stressed out, closed-mouthed, hiding out. And now they're standing on the balcony shouting about who God is and what God had done. I mean, how else would you explain that 25-minute difference? They must have been drunk. Peter says, nah, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They haven't had time to get drunk. Not that they hadn't occasionally, but that was not their story at this point. The main thing the people were surprised at, more so than these disciples standing on the balcony shouting out this, I just made that part up about the balcony. That's not in Scripture. I just made a better image. So they're shouting out this good news about what God has done. But the power is that every person heard it in their own language. How many languages did we hear a thank you in this morning? 10, 15? Well, there were, and Ken, great job on naming all of those places that people were from. All of those different languages heard in their own ear, in their own language. That was such an amazing thing. People from different countries, each person hearing this preaching in their native tongue. No one could say, that sermon is not for me. The preacher must be talking to someone else. God's word from those fire-breathing, gasping, and panting disciples was indeed meant for them. They were hearing it in their own language. If we would read on in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke would tell us that 3,000 people became disciples that day as a result of hearing Peter and the other disciples. This was the birth of the church. This was the beginning of that spread of this good news of what God had done in the world and what God is continuing to do. People from far and wide, all kinds of languages, all kinds of traditions began to speak of God and how God was at work in their lives and in the world. And the breath of God blew freely and wildly, filling their lungs, giving them strength and power that they had not dreamed possible. And Christ's body, the church, began to grow. All of these people, devout Jews of every nation, had gone to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. And here they find out that God's actions weren't isolated in history. Nor were God's words the possession of the religious professionals. God was at work in their lives. God was at work in their world. God's mighty deeds of power were for them and were in them. The good news, people in red, and others gathered here today, is that the good news of God's power is still blowing in our world today. This is not a past tense story. This is not a history lesson of what happened 2,000 plus years ago in a little place in the Middle East. This is God's continuing story. This is how God still works today. We started our service a few minutes ago with a remembrance of our baptism. And you prayed We praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. You prayed, shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. We, the baptized people of God, are indeed a Pentecost people. God invites you to know that God is at work in your life. God is at work in your world. And God invites you to experience the fullness of life, the abundance of forgiveness and grace and love. God fills you with the holy breath to be breathed deeply today and every day. Breathe deeply and know that you are indeed filled with God's Spirit, with God's holy breath. So take a deep breath and know that that is the breath of God in us, in our very life, our courage and strength, our good news. Ian said that the color of the Holy Spirit is red because it's blood, that we need that blood to stay alive. God's power is breath. We need that air to stay alive. No more could we live without blood or without air. Without God's power, the blood of Jesus in our lives, the power of God's breath in our lives. God isn't just in church on Sunday morning. God's action isn't isolated in history. God's action isn't the possession of the religious professionals. God is at work in your life and in your world. God is speaking to you in your own language, in your own traditions. God's mighty deeds of power are for you and in you. So breathe deeply of God's Holy Spirit and let that love and joy, that power and courage fill you and move you. And my prayer for you today is, may your hair be on fire with the Holy Spirit. Amen.